This is a Chazor Shir from this past Shabbos, Parshas Veschanan, Shabbos Nachamu. It's brought down this form that Veschanan is the Gematria Tefillah. Veschanan is the Gematria Tefillah, without the Yud. Tov Pei Lamed Hei. The whole Mahus of the Parsha is rooted in the Veschanan of Moshe Rabbeinu, crying out and begging Hashem to come to Eretz Yisrael. It must be that this tremendous Nechama for us is the beginning of the 7 weeks of Nechama. The greatest Nechama that a Jew could have is through davening. And Chazal tell us that Tefillah is Oymed Ruma Shel Olam. It's the highest point of the world. But we know that for many of us, it's one of the most difficult struggles in life, to daven. Let's begin with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We're learning Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in the second parak, Mishnah Yugimel, I think everybody knows, is Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Zohar b'Kriyas Shema b'Tefillah, that we should be careful when it comes to Kriyas Shema b'Tefillah. Uchsha'atim espalal altas tfiloscha keva. And when we're davening, we shouldn't make it into a fixed routine, into something which is just a keva. We'll see in a moment from the Rav Bartanura what that means. Elarachamim v'sachanunim l'fnei hamokim. But rather, our davening should be in a way of rachamim and sachanunim, pleading for mercy, appealing, reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mishnah brings a pasuk in Navi and Yoel, Ki chanun v'rachum hu, erach apayim v'av chesed, v'nicham al hara'ah. That Hashem is gracious and compassionate, long-suffering, He's patient, abundant in kindness, and He's reluctant to punish. He does not want to punish us. And then the Mishnah, in what appears to be a strange way, ends suddenly with Va'al tehi rosha b'fnei atzmacha. And one should not be a rosha, one should not be wicked or evil in his own eyes. So al tas tfilosha keva. What's the meaning of keva? I think we all know what that means, and unfortunately we live this way to one degree or another. The Rav Bartanura explains, keva is ka'adam she'eshel of chayva dover kavua. Like a person whose davening is just an obligation. It's a dover kavua. It's something that it's part of his schedule. It's a routine in his life. It's something that he knows that he has to do, but he really would rather not. For Omer, and the Rav says, for Omer, the person says to himself, Emosai efreik me'olai chayvzeh. When can I finally finish this shachris? When can I finish this mincha? When can I finish this marv? We know that little funny feeling that we have when we weren't expecting to be free from tachanun that day, and then something came up, and there was some chassan that did the oilam a big favor and showed up during shavar brachas. So a person lives with this feeling of tefillah being a keva. I need to do this, but when can I be potter from this? And he continues, Ka'adam shekavu alay likrei perek echad, parasha achas, like a person who has a regimen to read, to study something, to learn something, and so he just reads it. It's something that has to be recited. But it's cold. It's without any feeling, without any emotion. Ve'ena oimer b'loshen sachanunim, ka'odam shemavakish rachamim. The tefillah is not said in any way of sachanunim, of pleading, of crying out, of begging Hashem Yisbarach for rachamim. This is the sickness of altas tefiloscha keva, of a tefillah which is keva, which is kavu in our lives. It's a fixture in our lives, Baruch Hashem. That, of course, is a maila, and every single word is very, very precious. But it's a tefillah that has descended into that lifelessness, into that kever of keva, of being fixed and set, without feeling, without emotion. Now the Mishnah is warning us not to daven this way. We know how hard it is, and we know what that's like to feel that davening is just a chayv, and it becomes a kriya ba'alma, just something that we recite. We're so far from Moshe Rabbeinu. Veschanan, everybody knows, is also the gematria of Tov Kuf Tesavav, the 515 tefillas of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's hard for us, or it's impossible for us to be masig, that every single one of those tefillas, each and every one, took place in that way of Veschanan. I begged, I cried out, I was pleading to Hashem Yisbarach. 515 tefillas that were not keva. They were not keva. Now we're so far from Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillas. We're not masig that at all. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, Lamaisa, what happened from all of his tefillas? And what was gained by all of those tefillas? Everybody knows in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, did not come to Eretz Yisrael. The tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu did not bear the fruit that he was hoping for. We know on our Madrega that there are many reasons why our tefillah has become keva. But probably, I would think it's not unfair to come to the conclusion that probably the greatest cause of tefillah becoming keva is the feeling that a person has that I was at some point mischanin. I do recall in my life begging for something. I recall there was a time someone I loved wasn't well. I remember when we had a problem with one of the children. I remember the difficulties with Panasa. There were not 515, but there was a Ve'ezchanan. Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three or four times that I did plead to Hashem. I did cry out. I did beg Hashem. And I didn't see that anything came from my own personal Ve'ezchanan. So it's the teva, it's the nature of a person that when you try something and you really do put your heart into it, you give it your best shot, you really try to offer up a Ve'ezchanan, and you don't see that it works, and you don't see that it made any difference at all, and nothing changed. And you look around you and you see people that don't daven at all. People who have lives that in many ways are more blessed than your own. And there's not one Ve'ezchanan in that person's life. So it's only natural for a person to become discouraged over time and to lose his cheshek for tefillah. And at some point, davening becomes that keva. It becomes a responsibility. It becomes a responsibility, a fixed routine, without any warmth, without any passion. So how are we supposed to have a Ve'ezchanan in our lives when we've tried and it hasn't worked? We need to understand, we need to enter now into an oimik, into a very, very deep place in the world of tefillah. It's this farm talk about. Now we know Chazal have revealed to us, and in the Zohar Kodesh this is a big sugya, that there are different types of tefillahs. There's a certain type of tefillah that's called tefillah l'moshe. It says in Pasuk, tefillah l'moshe ish ho'elokim. We're not going to go into all of that, what that means, that type of tefillah, but it's a certain type of tefillah that's called tefillah l'moshe. And sometimes when we daven, we're davening in a Moshe Rabbeinu Dika way. But there's a tefillah that's called tefillah l'Moshe. There's another tefillah that's called tefillah l'David. There's a way of David HaMelech davening. Tefillah l'David. And each type of tefillah is a world, mamish a world unto its own. But Chazal have taught us that the most powerful davening, the most powerful davening in the world, which is more powerful than Tefillah LeMoshe, and even greater than Tefillah LeDavid, is a type of Tefillah that's called Tefillah LeAni. The Tefillah, the davening of the impoverished one, of the poor person. It says in Tilim Kuf Beis, Tefillah LeAni Ki Ya'atayf, the Tefillah of the poor person. He's so desperate, Ki Ya'atayf, he's fainting. He pours out his complaint before Hashem. The simple pshat over here is a complaint that comes from belief, from faith, not God forbid that he's angry with Hashem. But there's something that the poor person is desperately in need of, and he's been begging for. And he has what Chazal call a kublana, a tarumas, a taina that is matzav, continues on and on and on. It seems to him that it never ends. All of us meet probably each and every week, especially on Sundays. There are mishulachim that come to the door, and the mishulach says, "Hi, shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom. Do you remember me?" And we're all thinking inside, "Unfortunately, I remember you. You've been here for the past 7, 8, 9, 10 years." And I was hoping, you don't say this, Chalila, but inside you're thinking, I really was hoping that by this time you would be on the other side of the door, and you'd be able to help somebody who was coming to you instead of still coming around. And of course we remember you. And we wish that your status as an ani, as a poor person, would already end. When a person lives in that anius, in that poverty, whatever that poverty is, whether it's financial poverty, or he's poor when it comes to friends, or shalom bayis, or children, chalila, whatever that is, the matzav goes on and on and on, and it's understandable that at some point the ani, because of his belief in Hashem, and because he trusts in Hashem, and he loves Hashem, he believes that Hashem is kind. Tefillah la'ani ki ya'atayf v'lefnei Hashem yishpech seichai. His heart becomes somewhat embittered, and there's a complaint that his matziv doesn't seem to end. He's stuck in a certain place, and he sees so many other people that are not davening like him, that are not keeping mitzvahs like him, that are not learning like him, whatever it might be. And their lives seem to be so much better. So this tefillah is called the tefillah la'ani, the davening of the poor one. Our generation is wealthier than any earlier generation that comes to financial success, that's for sure. The tzaddikim, the chayzim lublin tzchusik, and all the tzaddikim said that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a shefa of financial wealth. That the last moments of the night of Golus, the Shechina is going to give us what to eat. So even though there are still Jews in the world, lo'aleinu, who are poor, but overall things are much better than in the past. But our generation is a generation that is impoverished in many, many other ways. There's never been a generation as lonely, as sad, as depressed, as in need as ours. So we have an opportunity to connect to a certain type of tefillah that's called tefillah la'ani. In order to do that, we need to first understand what is the nature of this tefillah. The Sfarim HaKadoshim talk about this. One of the tzaddikim of our generation, Reb Matel Zilberzal Gezun Zayin, speaks about this in one of his sichas. So we're going to try to understand the nature of tefillah la'ani using Reb Matel's yisaid, which is based upon what we find in the Zohar Kodesh, the Kisvari, and the Sfarim HaKadoshim. We're just getting up from the Shiva of Tisha B'Av, and we take for granted, like other things that are fixed in our calendar, that are kavua in our calendar, that Tisha B'Av is a time to mourn. It's a time to cry. You know, there are old machzorim. I never saw this, but I've heard that there are certain old machzorim for Shulim Kippur. It says in the machzor with the instructions, it says, Kan tzarech livkais. I don't know, by the Sanatayiv, it says, instructions here, you have to cry. So Hashem gave us a day of Tisha B'Av, and it comes with the instructions on the calendar that on this day we cry. We're crying over Yerushalayim. It's hard for us, so we think of other things in our history, the more recent history, to cry about. Now this whole inyan of Avelus that we just went through, this whole inyan of Avelus, what is it be'emes? What's the tachlis? Bishlam, we understand that if the Bari Olam, if the Bari Olam wants us to concentrate on davening for Geula, to daven that we should have a third Beis HaMikdash, so that we could understand, we need a third Beis HaMikdash, we need the Beis HaMikdash, we need Mashiach, we need Geula. So that we could understand, a day that would be designated for very, very, very powerful tefillas. In this inyan of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, of Beis HaMikdash, of Mashiach, of Geula, Kibbutz Golis, Tchis HaMeitzim, and so on. That we understand. But mourning and crying over something that took place a long time ago, which L'chaira was the tachlis, we don't see any benefit that comes from that. Yiddishkeit is very practical. And if the Ratzon Hashem is that we should participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash and bringing Mashiach, then our entire avoda of this time should be that. Should be an avoda of davening, of longing for redemption, and thinking about the future and davening for that. But what's the whole tachlis of all the krechtsing and the crying of what once was? What comes from that? What to'elus, what benefit is there from all of that? Let's take this a step further. In Kehelis, in the fourth parak, in the beginning of the fourth parak, Shlomo Melech expresses something that all of us have in our minds, and we're all very, very sad about. Shlomo Melech says over there, Shafti ani ve'ere. Shlomo Melech was taking a second look at the world, in only the way that he could, and he said, I took another look at the world, Shafdani Ve'era. And when I look at the world, I see something. He goes on and says, Vihine Dimas Ha'ashukim. I see the tears, the crying of human beings who are oppressed, who are suffering, who are oppressed. Ve'ein Lahem Menachem. Ve'ein Lahem Menachem. And there's no one to comfort them. There's no one to console them. So we all see this. And we all wonder about this. Now, we're not getting into the theology of why good people suffer. But we have to ask ourselves, what's the tachlis of all of those tears? And why does Hashem Yisbarach make such an inyan in the world that there are people, so many, ourselves also, in different ways, who are living with tears that haven't dried, and we can't find a nechama. It's the tachlis. So Motl explains that in these tears of the ashukim, of the oppressed, lies the mystery of tefila la'ani, of the complaint of the poor person. The tefillas of Moshe, tefila la Moshe. The tefila of David, tefila la David. Or the tefillas of the others that they established. Those types of tefillas have results. The results can either be seen directly or indirectly, or perhaps the children see the results, or the eniklach, the grandchildren, of those tefillas. But the tefillah, our tefillah, it's a tefillah that we can see bears fruit. There's a tachlis. What's tefillah la'ani? The complaint of the ani. These are tefillahs that are unanswered. Tefillahs where we don't see results. Now let's go to the shorish of this. And the shorish of tefillah, we have to go to the others. Because even the others had tefillahs that were tefillah la Moshe, tefillah la Ani, tefillah la David, tefillah of Avram. But Avram Avinu's tefillahs, each one of our tefillahs shift into these different types of tefillahs. Let's go to the shorish. We know that Avram Avinu poured out many, many tefillahs to try to save the people of Sodom. Ula yesh, perhaps there are 40, maybe there's some tzaddikim, maybe there's a way to salvage this place. And we know that after all of those tefillahs, that Lamaisa, he didn't see any payers. There was no tachlis. Not only was there no tachlis, but it says afterwards in the pasuk, it says Vayashkem Avram Babayka, that Avram Avinu got up early in the morning, El Hamokim Asher Omad Sham Espnei Hashem, and he went to the place that he had stood, meaning where he had davened, Ein Amida El Tefila. That's the Gemara Brachas. So he went to the place where he had davened. He went to see what happened. No, he davened first time. He wanted to see what became of those tefillahs, of all of those tears, of the crying and begging. What became of all of those tefillahs? And says in Pasuk, Vayar, and he saw, Vine ola kitor ha'aretz kekitor ha'kivshon. He saw, not only were those tefillahs not answered, not only was Sodom not saved, or some people of Sodom, maybe some tzaddikim, or some children, or some animals. Not only was his tefillah not successful, but the entire city was annihilated. Sodom and Gomorrah was transformed into a furnace. Everything was absolutely decimated. Nothing was left. And if anything, it seemed to Avraham Avinu that his tefillahs brought more charoin af, more anger, and more destruction that had originally been planned. So it was clear to Avraham Avinu when he went to that place and he stood on that mountain overlooking Sodom and Gomorrah, it was clear to him that his davening was not in the slightest way matzliach. There wasn't any kind of a hamtokas adinim, a sweetening of judgment that took place through his tefillah. And it's ki'ilu, his davening was totally ignored. And it would have been perhaps better had he not opened his mouth at all, had he not davened at all. Everything was the hepech, was mamash the opposite of all of his veschanans. Everything in Mitzias turned out to be the opposite of what he was davening for. So if we would stop over here, we wouldn't understand at all the meaning of Tefillah La'ani. Rabbi Sai, let's go now into one of the deepest things in that, which is Aymed Rumash L'Aylam, of what davening is. The Torah continues. The Torah tells us, that at that time that Hashem was destroying those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Vayizker Elokim es Avram, and Hashem es Baruch remembered Avraham, Vayishlach es Light mitoich ha'hafecha, and Hashem rescued Light, Avraham Avinu's nephew, from that hafecha, from the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. So look, Them is that we perhaps, if we were asked, we perhaps it would have been Meichel. And we could have considered living and continuing on with Jewish history without light. But everybody here knows that from light and his daughters would come out the world of Moav. And from Moav there would be a woman by the name of Rus. And from Rus there would be an Enochel, a descendant, by the name of David HaMelech. And you and I are waiting for the appearance of Mashiach ben David. That means that from that tefillah of Avraham Avinu, and from those tears of Avraham Avinu, when he was standing on that mountain, and he was looking at the smoke, all that was left, the smoke of Sodom and Amorah coming, rising from that now empty place in Hashem's world, that from those tears and from those tefillahs of Ulai, that seemed to Avraham Avinu to have been thrown back in his face, Davke, from that came out the Vayizker Elohim es Avraham. The Vayizker, that Vayizker Elohim es Avraham, Vayishlach es light, that Mashiach Tzidkenu himself is built from those tefillahs that seem to us to be completely, completely unanswered. The Dimas Ha'ashukim Ve'ein Lahem Menachem. Shlomo Melech says there are the tears of the oppressed that never ever dry up. We just said in Eicha, Bochai Sivke Balayla. Bochai Sivke Balayla. Bochai Sivke means that the crying doesn't stop. It's the tefillah la'oni, the kablana da'oni, which means the ongoing, incessant crying and tears. Bochai sivke balayla, in the night of golus. Over the years of this golus, like we spoke about in Tisha B'Av, that woman who lost a child, and was crying in the neighborhood of Rabbi Gamaliel, it wasn't that she cried during the day when people would see her, she cried at night, Bocha Sivka Balayla, but it wasn't one night, it was every night. And what do you think that Mrs. Kletsky, Leiby's mother, is doing? And Leiby's father is doing? It's Bocha Sivka Balayla. And what do you think all of the Jews and all of us over the years who have been, God forbid, in a situation where we've lost, and we know we were crying so hard and we davened so hard, and nothing came of it. Bochei sivka balayla v'dimalsa alechia. The tears are on the cheek because the tears don't stop. They never dry up. Ein lo, we just said in Eicha, ein lo menachem mikol oyhaveha. Just like Shlomo Melech says, dimas hashukim v'ein lohem menachem, so too, ein lo menachem mikol oyhaveha. There's no nechama. The oni doesn't have any nechama because the oni was crying and begging, it didn't work. And the tears don't dry because the sorrow goes on and on and on. From those tears and from those tefillahs that seem to be completely futile and wasted and ineffective, there's going to come into the world a Jew who's described as a poor man himself. Oni Reichev Alachamor. Mashiach Tzidkenu, who himself is described as Oni Roichev, Oni Roichev al Hachamor, a poor man who is riding upon the donkey. Mashiach himself, who is in that Heichel of Mashiach, begging and crying for all of us. The Tefillah La'Oni means that when a Jew is crying over the Beis HaMikdash. We sit Tisha B'Av, and the tears flow from our eyes over what once was. It's not an inyan just of nostalgia. And when a person, when a person is sitting shiva, and he's crying and crying over the person that he lost, and after shiva ends, and the chairs are taken away or put back into place, and even after the kaddish, even after the year ends or whatever it might be, the shleishim ends, and the person stands up and gets up from shiva, but we know that even though he gets up from shiva, but the tears are still wet on the person's cheeks. And he asks, what was the tachlis, Bari Olam, what was the tachlis of all of those tears? What did I accomplish? What's the point of crying over Yerushalayim? What's the point of these thousands of years? What's the point of these thousands of tears that I've cried? So the Teretz is, Vayizker Elokim es Avram, that even though when Avram Avinu looked from the mountain, all he saw was what? All he saw was, Vihine Olo Kito Ha'aretz Kekito HaKivshin, he saw just the smoke, the furnace. He saw a world that had been destroyed. He saw lives that had ended. But only Yechadosh Baruch Hu knows, Vayi B'shacheis Elokim es Arei HaKiko Vayizker Elokim es Avram, Vayishloch es Lot, and Lot, who was the great-great-grandfather of Mashiach, was saved mitoich ha-hafecha, from within the hafecha, there emerged the soul of Mashiach Zekeinu. And that is the oimik, that is the deepest, deepest thing that is going on, because during that time where the ani doesn't see what's the tachlis, whatever happened with all of my tefillas, whatever happened with all the veschanins, with the hishtapchus alev, with all the bechias that go on, that were not answered, and all my complaining. From all of that, Hashem Yisbarach builds Koimas HaMashiach. Mashiach, the inyan of Mashiach is so deep. The inyan of Mashiach is so beyond anything that we could even daven for. Just like the Izbitzer talks about how one doesn't daven for someone who was dead to come back to life. At that point, the person's tefillas, he feels that there's no tachlis. The person's dead. What am I going to daven? What's the tachlis? But these tefillas of the Ani are bringing the dead back to life. These tefillas of the Ani are the tefillas, are the tears that together, compounded, together, build that Metziach that is the most hidden, that we don't even have to daven for that, brings Mashiach Tzekeinu, the one who is the Ani, Reichev Alachamor. So Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillas gevaldik, the Veschanadon Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah leMoshe. Look, the truth is that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was not answered in the way that he wanted to be, to come in to Eretz Yisrael Mamish, and we spoke about that Shabbos also, Shabbos morning. So Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah wasn't answered the way that he wanted. But it did bear fruit. There was a tachlis, because Hashem Baruch told him, Ebra na ve'era es ha'aretz ha'toiva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him, he told him, Alei Rosh HaPisgah v'sa'inecha, he took Moshe Rabbeinu to the top of the mountain, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not see Achor. Moshe Rabbeinu saw all that was going to be. He saw all of Eretz Yisrael, and we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu seeing Eretz Yisrael was much, 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 much greater than you and I with our little trips over there for weekend bar mitzvahs. But Moshe Rabbeinu saw all the tikkunim that he made when he went to the top of the mountain, and he looked and he saw the entire Eretz Yisrael. So the tefillah leMoshe is that type of a tefillah that maybe it's not answered in the way that we want, but the person sees that it has peiros, it accomplished, something came from it. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to daven anymore. Hashem told him by that 515th tefillah, by Ve'eschanan, when he came to that place, then Hashem told him, Ravlach, Al Toysev Dabra Lai Oidi B'Davra Hazeh, don't add another word. Your tefillah is tefillah leMoshe, and yours is a tefillah that has to be answered now in a certain way that's clear, and I'm going to take you to the top of the mountain. But if you continue, then you're going to try to break through the barrier of tefillah leMoshe, and in this inyan, to enter into the world of tefillah leAni. And that's not the inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't talk about that right now. It's not something that we understand. In general, the more one davens, there's an inyan of hachef picha of amalayut, to cry and to cry and to cry. But Moshe Rabbeinu's inyan had to end with that ve'eschanan. It could not go into the world of Tfilah La'ani, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not the one who was assigned to build the Beis HaMikdash. Again, that's not for now. The tefillas to build the Beis HaMikdash, those were left up to us. Those were left up to generations that were impoverished in Golas. So the Navi comes, Shabbos Nachemu, and during these weeks of Nechama, the Navi comes into our lives and says, Nachemu, Nachemu, Ami, Yoima Elokeichem. Nachemu, Nachemu. Just like there was a Bochei Sivke, crying that never stopped, and the poor person, and the poor ones who never ever felt that it made a difference, and what did their tears mean? So the Navi comes for that Bochei Sivke, and he says, Nachemu, Nachemu, Ami, Yoimer Elokeichem. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, speak to the heart of Yerushalayim. So let's go back to our Mishnah. When you daven, don't make the davening into keva, something that doesn't have any feeling, something that's just a routine. It should be something which is with pleading and begging. What's the nechama? V'nicham al hara. The Mishnah is telling us this, that you should daven in a way that's always filled with pleading, always with begging, always with crying. And it shouldn't be keva. But each one of us is saying to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who's the Tana of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, each one is saying, but Rabbi, how could I go on davening with such compassion, with such passion, with such feeling? How could you expect me to live this way of Altas Tfilos HaKeva when you, Rabbi Shimon, you know that I've tried so hard in the past, and I don't know, I don't see what's the tachlis. I don't see that it ever made a difference. And who am I? It must be that the reason that Hashem hasn't listened to me and the reason that my tefillahs are not answered, because I'm not a Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not a David HaMelech, so I can't give a tefillah to Moshe. I can't offer up a tefillah to David. And that's why Hashem never answered me, or I haven't seen Him answer me in the way that I asked, because I know that I'm totally worthless, I'm totally unworthy, I'm poor, I'm empty, I'm worthless. So now listen what happens. After that, after it says in the Mishnah, "Kshatim espal al tas tfilos hakevel l'rachim b'sachanun l'fnei hamokim," after that, and it brings the pasuk v'nichem al hara, then it says "Va'al tihirosha b'fnei atzmacha." Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is telling us the pnimi shebe pnimis, is saying "Va'al tihirosha b'fnei atzmacha." He's saying you're wrong. You should not, Chalila, think that, you shouldn't think that the reason that your tefillahs, you didn't see the answers to your tefillahs, is because you're, God forbid, you're a Rasha. You're not a Rasha. Chas v'shalom, Hashem Yisbarach listens to you. Hashem Yisbarach loves you. You're a Yidin, and your tefillahs are very, very, very great. Not only that, your tefillahs are the tefillahs of the Ani, of the poor person. And you didn't see any peiros in your tefillahs. And you should know that with those tefillahs that you're davening in a golus, that the one who's chanun and rachum, who's erech apayim rav chesed, is nicham al ha'ra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building the kaima of Mashiach Tzakeinu, al tihi rosh b'fnei atzmacha, continue davening. What about all the tikkun chatzoses the Jews have said, sitting on the ground crying over the years, what was the tachlis? What about all the tisha b'av that we've been through? What about all of the tears that we were crying 3 weeks ago, when that little child was lost, when Libby was missing, that he should be found? And that's just one example. What about all of those Tisha B'Avs? What about the child who's sick and the parents are davening for a year, for 2 years, and not just the parents, but thousands of Yidden come together? And what happened to those tefillahs? So the Navi is coming and saying, Nachemu, Nachemu, Ami. Bochei Sivke Balayla, you remember we said the Navi Yimi, you said Bochei Sivke Balayla V'dimos Alechya Ein Lo Menachem. So now the Navi Yishai comes during the weeks of Nechama and says, Nachmu Nachmu Ami, because there is a Jew who we're told his name is Menachem. Shmoy Menachem Menachem Shmoy. Ha'oni Roichev Alachamor, the one who is the comforter, the one who's going to give us, bring us the ultimate Nechama is Menachem Shmoy, is Mashiach Tzikenu, the one who's going to change the kinis into tikkun. The Mashiach Tzikenu, Oni Roichev Alachamor, you should know that his entire existence depends on the tears of, on those tears of the Aniyim through history that were not, that did not seem to make a difference. And during these weeks of Nechama, all of the tears of the Ashukim, all the Dimas Ashukim, She'en L'Menachem, Hashem tells us in a very deep way during the weeks of Nechama, V'nichem Hashem al Hara, Nachmu Nachmu Ami, Anoichi Anoichi Hu Menachemchem, that we're building Menachem these years. That we're building Mamish Menachem. We're building Mashiach Tzikenu. Until that time when it's going to be Mizgala, but we thought that all of that was Ein Lo Menachem, Boseich Boche Sivke Belayla, V'demos Alechia, Ein Lo Menachem is going to come, it's going to come to the Menachem of Mashiach Tzikenu, to the time of Amocha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kol Panim, that Hashem is going to erase the tears that are upon the cheeks of Klal Yisrael. You know, if you look into the Eish Kodesh, the Rebbe Schus Yigalenu talks about Shabbos Nachem, with that one Torah of Shabbos Nachem, which is so, it's unbelievable. Everybody has to take a look at that Shabbos Nachem of the Piazetzna. You know what he was living in, and you know what he lost and what he was going through. And the Rebbe there was talking about Nechama, and he said, you know, what does it mean, Nechama? Nechama, a person can have Nechama. If you lose something, you feel really bad, and then you get, maybe you get a new one. If you lose something and you get something new, so you have a Nechama. So maybe you think that it's the same way, that if you lose a friend, you lose someone that you love, that so you have a new friend, there's a new child. But the Rebbe says that really, Be'emes, Be'emes, that's not true. He doesn't bring this, but we've mentioned over the years, Vayimoyin l'hisnachem, it says by, the Rechaim HaKadosh explains that by Yaakov Avinu, after Yosef HaTzadik was gone, so all of the children, the grandchildren, everybody came there to try to give him Nechama. And the Rechaim HaKadosh says they all lined up in front of him that he should look and see, look how much nachas. You have so many children, there's such a beautiful family in Eniklach, so that should give him Nechama. But it says in Pasuk, Vayimoyin l'hisnachem, he refused, he couldn't be consoled, Ein lo menachem, because that child, Yosef, was not there. And any parent who's ever lost knows that it doesn't make a difference, even if there are 6 million new children. But the one who's not there is not there. And there's no Nechama. Ein lo menachem. And the tears never ever dry up of the child who's not there. So it says, Vayimoyin l'hisnachem. Vayimoyin l'hisnachem. The Yaakovin couldn't be consoled. It wasn't possible. So the Rebbe says it's the same thing. We can't have any Nechama, because sof kol sof, the Rebbe says, those who are not here, they're not here. Another child, something else in life to help us to forget for a few minutes, to not think for a few minutes about what we lost. The emes is, he says, the only Nechama can come in such a way of Hamokim Yenachem Eschem, and only you, Hashem, can bring the dead back to life. Because the only Nechama will be is when we'll actually see those people again. That's the only time there could be a true Nechama. So we're davening now very strong for that time of Hamokim Menachem, for Tchias HaMeisim, for that time of Hashem Yisbach bringing everything back. Because really, that's the only way that we can come to Oz Enachem, to the true Nechama. Hashem Yisbach should bring us to that time of Amach Hashem Elokim Dima, that all the tears of his poor children of all of these years of Bachay Sivka Belayla will be dried up, and we're able to sing the song of Geula. Shir Chadash Shibchu Geulim, Shir Chadash, V'sham Noshir Shir Chadash, V'Geula Hashem V'Amitis, M'Hib Yameinu Amein V'Amein.